The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show on this lovely March 4th, 2024. That's for Dave Kimball, and because it's a long story. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes joke there. What is the day today? Maybe it's 2028. I don't know. Hey, Dave, what are you thinking? So anyway, March 4th, 2024. All right. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. It's easy to do. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. We have nobody waiting right now. If you're new to the show, I'm a Christian apologist, and what I do is I defend the Christian faith, talk about all kinds of things. There are attacks on the Christian faith from basically every direction. So I've studied science, logic, philosophy, UFOs, the occult, various religious, world religious systems and things like that, and Christian theology, and been doing it for, this is my 44th year. So have a lot of experience about it with it. So anyway, you can give me a call if you have questions about all kinds of stuff. I even have a good chicken recipe. How about that? 877-207-2276. And, all right, so I was in a debate on Friday night, and I want to talk about it, and hopefully, maybe if some of you were there, you heard, you saw, and you'd like to comment, it's worth commenting on because of what happened and the after show. And basically, it was one of the worst encounters I'd had with somebody as far as debates go. And the guy who I debated, we found out, actually, purposely, he didn't succeed, but he tried to get me upset. He mocked. He accused me of being a liar. He did all kinds of stuff. They said in their after show, after he lost, because he did not do well. He said that the main goal, and I had people tell me this. Several people have watched that. I haven't watched it, but they told me the same thing. They said, oh, yeah, the goal was to get you to quit, to embarrass you, to get victory over you by making you mad. You wouldn't stay and talk and all this stuff. They were thinking about using my eldest daughter against me. I mean, just ridiculous stuff. And I don't know if any of you saw this debate. And if you would like to call in and give me a comment, that'd be great. Even if you are on the other side and you thought I did horribly, I should say, and was out of line, because they always say that, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, I can be a perfect gentleman. And you're like, hey, you couldn't answer anything. And that's how it often goes. So anyway, if you're interested, give me a call. We can talk more about that. But let's get to Amor from North Carolina. Amor, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey. Oh, thank you, Matt. Thank you for taking my call. I'm not a first-time caller. I listen to you every day. I called you before several times. But the one thing I just want to ask is, I hear this guy, I see him in YouTube. He got a good website. He even come here in North Carolina one time, but I was not able to meet him. I worked that day. He kind of like do what you do, Christian apologetic, but his name is Justin Peters. Have you heard that guy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know Justin. Okay. I've done stuff with him, and we've gone out and done stuff together. Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, you can trust him.
He good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now he doesn't believe in the charismatic gifts. I'm sorry, what?
Good. Actually, he's now in a wheelchair, I think, because he got a... Yeah, and I read all his bio and everything. I need to call Matt about this thing because he's like, do what you do, and so he's a real thing. He's good.
Oh yes, the only thing I really disagree with him on is the charismatic gifts. He's highly against them. I believe in the continuation.
I hear that.
Yeah. But aside from that, the guy's great. I mean, I had call him up today and say, hey, Justin, man, when are you going to, you know, you coming down the area? You go, I don't know. We just, you know. Yeah. So he's a good guy.
Me,
you can trust him.
He came in early one time, but I worked that day. I was so frustrated because I had nobody to work for me at the hospital, and I came to the suites. I said, damn, I could have. Oh, sorry. But so I just want to, that's the only thing I want to ask. I listened to him, I think both of you. So he is okay.
Yes, I would absolutely recommend him. And if I had an apologetics conference, say I was putting it on for Carm, I would ask him to come on in. Hey, dude, you got to come in and, you know, and speak, you know, on one of the days, one of the things. I would have no problem with that. Okay?
God bless you, Matt. Continue what you're doing, man. You're the best. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey,
I'm the best. I listen to you.
But thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. God bless you. You have a nice
thanks.
Day.
Thanks. All right. Justin Peters, yeah, he has cerebral palsy and he needs help and gets right in a wheelchair and stuff like that. But he travels all over, and we've talked about it. And he says the airlines are great, and they just put his chair in a in cargo, and you know they get it out for him. He just whatever. So he's a good guy. And the only thing I disagree with him really on is the charismatic gifts. He won't even talk to me about it. But he works in the issue in the areas of these wacko moron pastors and preachers and teachers inside of Protestantism who just say stupid heretical things. And he's with it all the time. And so he's flown, they fly him all over the place to speak. And he's good. So I'd recommend you guys, Justin Peters Ministries, I think it's what it is. So I have no problem with him. He's awesome. He's a good guy, loves the Lord, and he's being used of God. And he's got some great stories about going to healing services. And I think he can walk if he uses those crutch things. I don't know what the right word is. You know, like crutches under your shoulder, and he's got the things go to his arms and braces and stuff like that. He can walk. And he told me a story once how he went up to a healing service like that. This guy's a heretic. Not Justin, but the other guy was a heretic. And imagine have Justin call up sometime and tell the story. And I love the story. And he went up there and you know, go ahead, heal me. Go ahead. Like that. And I called Justin. I go, you're Batman, dude. Because he was facing the guy off. It was good stuff. So anyway, there you go. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right. Now, what I want to do is I want to go over some of the stuff in this debate I had on Friday night, and it was on open theism. Open theism is the position that God does not know exhaustively all events of the future. He does not know what free will choices of individuals will be. He has to learn. He can possibly make mistakes, and this is it. And the guy I was debating on Friday, he was apparently... And I want to say apparently because I couldn't get him to admit it, but he wouldn't deny it. But it looks like he doesn't even believe God is omnipresent. God's restricted to the physical realm. God has to learn and expect. And I've got some quotes from him. And I want to go through this stuff. But this guy, oh my goodness, was bad. It was really bad. And he said on his site, his article with his open theism, he said, the Bible describes God as personal and relational. God is not immutable or wholly other. To immutability of God means he does not change. In fact, the Bible says in Malachi 3:6, he says, I do not change. God says he doesn't change. So he says, no, that's God is not immutable. God does change. So when I asked him, what do you mean by change? You mean it in his nature or you mean just in his learning? Because it's clear, and I don't remember getting an answer from him at all. But he did this too. In his opening statement, he poisoned the well, committed, he was leaning towards a genetic fallacy. He was trying, and then he actually said that what I'll do is such and such, which I didn't do. What I'll do is this and this and that. And each time he said, I want the audience members to take a drink. He was talking about taking alcohol and taking a drink each time I did such and such. And he would do this. And he purposely mocked with his facial expressions. They actually said this in the after show. They were trying to get me to self-destruct. I just kept focusing. I had to talk to the moderator once, and I said to the moderator, can you tell him not to call me a liar? You know? And he goes, because you are a liar. It's just insane. And I called him a heretic. And so here's one thing, because he is a heretic. And I said, he's a heretic. And man, his fans, the fanboys on for him, they just jumped all over me for that. That's, you can't do that. But they, I didn't hear anybody say that they rebuked him for calling me a liar. You know, it's attacking my person in the debate. And so the hypocrisy was there. Hey, let's get to Rusty from South Carolina. Rusty, welcome, man. You're on the air.
Hey.
You got a lot of wind. Good. You got a lot of wind there on your mic, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. Let me turn it down.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So when Jesus died on the cross and he was not risen yet to the third day, when he went to hell to minister, do that mean that he, the ones that didn't have the forgiveness, did they go to heaven with him?
No. No, there's different theories. There's different theories about what happened, and we cannot say exactly what happened. One of the theories is, and this is, I'll tell you what I lean towards. I won't die on this hill, but this is what I think happened, is that the people who died before Jesus was crucified, they went to the good people who were trusting and believing and doing what God had called them to do. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom, and the rest of them went to Hades. The bad people who rejected God and follow, they went to Hades. And we see this mentioned in Luke 16:19 through 31. Or Jesus talks about the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus, the rich man. And they went to these places. Okay, so when we go after the crucifixion, what some people think is possible, which I kind of lean towards this as a definite possibility, a probability, is in Ephesians 4:8, it says, he ascended on high. When he did this, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And it says, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? So it looks like he went someplace, the lower parts of the earth, that's what it says. He descended into Hades and or Abraham's bosom. And what I suspect is what happened is he proclaimed to those in Hades, this is why you're in trouble. This is what's going on. This is who I am. This is what I've done on the cross, etc. And to the believers, those who died in expectation, hope of the faith of Christ, they were taken up by the Lord up and went into heaven. And so that's what I lean towards is what happened.
Okay, that was in Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
Man, that makes sense. Thank you. Yes, most definitely. And I would have many more questions for you, too. Like, I've been meaning to call you. I actually got some questions, a lot of questions written down at home. I'm on my way to work. I got your name written up top. And I have one more. Like, so the angel of the Lord, that they talk about in the Old Testament, that's Jesus before he came in the New Testament as in flesh.
That's one of the theories, because the angel of the Lord could actually be an angelic being that is a created thing, but the pre-incarnate Christ, the second person of the Trinity, could also be the angel of the Lord too in a manifestation. And this is it's a possibility. So there's debate about this issue too. Okay. Hey, there's a break. You want to hold on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on, man. We've got a break. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's see, is he still on? Don't know if we lost him or not. So maybe the producer will let me know. I don't think we got, maybe we lost him. That's okay. He's going to work and driving, so no big deal. All right, so back to the issue of the opponent. I'm going to use some of the things that he said in some other areas and discuss the issue of open theism. And it is a heresy. It's a false teaching. It does not properly represent God. And there are all kinds of problems with it. Now, check this out. This was in a comment from my opponent in something else that he wrote in comments in a discussion about an article. And so I read through that and read through the comments and went, oh my goodness, he actually said this. This is really bad. So that's the context. And he said this, God even expects them to be loyal. In Genesis 18, we find God including Abraham in divine decision-making on the basis in this text, God and Abraham discuss what God might find when he visits the city, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. The issue is about justice. God adopts Abraham's higher standard. He actually said that God adopted the higher standard of Abraham. And I read this to him, and I said, is this what you're teaching, you know, that God adopted the higher standard? And he said, yes. Now, you know, that's just flat-out heresy. Because it means, then, that Abraham had a higher moral standard than God did. And I said, because everything that God does is moral. And he said, no, it's not true. And I'm trying to remember this best my ability. I'm not trying to misrepresent in any way. But this is, best of my recollection, this is what I remember. And, you know, I couldn't believe what he was saying. You know, I was like, this is a false doctrine. It's false teaching. And I said, yeah, what God does is always moral. And he said, no. And I said, yes, it is. Because God is holy. And every decision that he makes is not separated but from his holiness. It's always the good and right and moral thing to do. And, you know, I could have defended that very well. And it was just ridiculous how this guy went on and said this. And then I read another quote that he said, and he affirmed this one as well. Like, are you kidding me? Let me give you a principle, and I'll read the quote here in a minute. But whenever you have a faulty view of God, you're gonna fault in other areas. You're going to make mistakes in other areas as well. It's going to happen. And so if you can't defend your faith and you don't know the true doctrine of God and you reduce his qualities and his nature in any way, then what's going to happen is you're going to end up in heresy. Check. Excuse me, I had a cough there. So check this out. I couldn't believe he actually said this. This is in a video that he was in. And I got the documentation. Jonathan Singleton versus Chris Fisher is Open Theism Biblical. And the first thing I said, you know, God adopts Abraham's higher standard. That was at 15 minutes and 30 seconds-ish. And this is at 19 minutes and 20 seconds in. And he says, to Israel, God is a person. You can talk to God, pray to God, change God's mind, affect God on an emotional level. God will often do things against his better judgment on account of our prayers. He accepts input and is willing to try new things. So, I'm like, what? So God will do things that are against his better judgment? I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't. And the guy affirmed that. I'm like, are you kidding me? And so it was really bad. And it was a lot of this kind of stuff was going on. And of course, it's just false teachings. These are heresies. So what do you do with stuff like that? Well, what you do is you try and reason with them. You try and help them out. And it was bad. So there's a principle. Okay, there's a principle. Let's put it this way. A little leaven leavens the whole batch. So if you have a faulty God, a view of God in some way, it's going to manifest in other ways as well. It's going to result in further errors. Open theism is that mistake. It's a false doctrine. It flat out is a false doctrine. And all I can say is, wow. But they have their verses, you know. They have their verses. They'll say, well, God repents. God does them to learn and all this stuff. And I have ways of responding to all of those things. But It's just amazing to me. But anyway, that's how the debate went. I don't know if any of you heard it, saw it, but if you did, you want to comment about it, please give me a call. I'd love to get some feedback on it. In fact, any of the people I know, you know, who are listening to me right now, you know, Laura or whoever, if you guys want to listen, if you want to call in too, that's fine. If not, no big deal. But we'd already talked about it a lot. So anyway, that's what's going on. A lot of bad stuff in that debate, and it was just bad. Hey, but what do you expect? And then they just are vitriolic. They would just say evil things, very bad stuff. What is it about people that when they have a faulty view of God, because it was a faulty view of God, what is it about people that causes them to attack other people? They don't like what you're saying, so therefore they're going to attack you. And then if you call them a heretic, then they accuse you of being uncharitable. The hypocrisy is just profound. I wish that people would, I wish they'd be consistent. You know, I do. I wish people would be consistent instead of such so bad. Okay, well, anyway, I don't know if we have any callers coming in, but if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. You can also email me, and all you have to do is email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. And we can get to you. Just put in the subject line, put let's see, radio comment or radio question, and we can get to those. I do them sometimes because, you know, I do those. In fact, let me get to the emails because I think we got a caller coming in. And okay, let's go. Hey, Charlie, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Matt, I'm doing well. Good. Yeah, I unfortunately suffered through that debate. I say suffered because the guy was shamelessly mocking God's word when you'd quote it to him. And that made a big impression on me. I was very disappointed in his behavior, especially if he claims to be a Christian. That was very sad.
Yeah.
I posted a lot of, I thought that Marlon allowed me to post a lot of relevant links to articles mm-hmm. you've written that refuted most of his positions. I thought I kept up with it real well, but as I went back to look at the debate today, none of my articles that I posted with links mm-hmm. to them, as I normally do in this show on the different mm-hmm. venues, none of them went through and were available as I watched the playback in the chat stream. Unfortunately, but I did post your section just now today on Open Theism, which has a plethora of articles that will show you the verses that these guys.
Hey, hold on, buddy. We got a break. Okay, hold on. We'll get to it after because the break's up. All right, hey folks, we'll be right back with Charlie, and please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Charlie, who I have known for about 44 years. Hey, Charlie. All right, man.
Yeah.
Back on.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling you that I thought it was unfortunate the lack of sincerity and seriousness that the guy had for approaching God's word. In fact, he started off the discussion with suggesting that we play a drinking game, and every time a certain term was mentioned, take a drink, he says, and you'll be drunk before you know it. And he would actually hold up a sign, a paddle that said drink every time you would mention a certain thing. He had it pre-planned, and even most unfortunate, while he was failing to address your questions to him, and when he would use a term such as free will, and you'd ask him, well, what does that mean to you? How do you view free will? And he wouldn't attempt an answer to simple questions like that. More than one of those simple questions, he would use a term and refused to define it. And so it was hard to answer what his view might be, since he wouldn't reveal his views on the terms he was using. What was even more, I'd say, disgusting in my view, is that when he would read his canned insults to you, he had them prepared as a script, and he was reading it off blatantly and openly and obviously. So he wasn't prepared to really address the stuff seriously, but to get in as many insults and false representations, misrepresentations of your views, he stuffed in as many as he could, and it wasn't by memory or by opinion. It was by a pre-planned text, and his reading it was just unfortunate and, like I say, shameless, in my view. Just absolutely shameless.
Yeah, it was bad. And the only reason I'm really bringing this up is because his name, Chris Fisher, needs to be known, that this is what his tactic was. And if you disagree, that's fine. You debate the issue. You don't attack the individual. And you go through the arguments, and that was the opposite of what was supposed to be done. So yeah, it's just worth discussing, and it's like a warning statement. Yeah, to others.
Well, I think Marlin's archiving it for a podcast and making it available. You won't learn much by watching it, except to reveal what to do with a mocker and their tactics. It's educational in that sense, to see what someone will stoop to do in order to, I don't know what his goal was actually, other than to, you mentioned it, to goad you into something where you'd fly off the handle. And, it's educational in that sense, but unfortunate as well.
Yeah, and you know what else was interesting is, so I would start using logic, and he says, "Oh, you're just Platonic, and using philosophy." And I said, "Well, give me the answer." And he couldn't. Yeah, he was bad, but that's what it is. You know,
it was.
Yeah, it was one of the worst debates I've been in.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to posting links to articles as they come in to you, right. And hopefully people will take advantage of, if they want to spend more time on the issues you cover. With their Bible open, they can go to the articles, the relevant articles I'm going to be posting throughout the rest of the show. But thanks for doing that. I'm so sorry you had to suffer through that experience, but it comes with the territory.
It does. It does. It does.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. God bless.
Okay. All right. Also, I'll be in a debate on Friday, on the 8th, March 8th. So, Andrew Rappaport, he runs Striving for Eternity Ministry, and he's out on the East Coast in Philly, I believe, area. And so he and I will be teaming up to discuss the issue of Oneness Pentecostal with two guys. Now, I've never done a two-on-two. I don't recall ever doing it. Maybe I have, but I just don't recall it. So that's what's going to be happening on that day. So not a big deal. It'll be Friday. So there you go. And like I said, I'll be off the air Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week. That's March. I'll be off March 5th, 6th, and 7th. All right. Let me get to some of these emails and radio questions that have come in that you guys have so kindly let me know about. Let's see. Good afternoon. Let's go to this one. It's me, Alberto. The verse says, referring to 1 Kings 18:40. Ooh, really? And it says, a different version says, decapitate. Interesting. Well, let's go see what it says. I don't know if there's a question related to it. Then Elijah said to him, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Abraham. Then Elijah brought him down to the book of Kishon and slew them there. I don't know. Let's see what the word is. Yeshate, I think it is. Yeshate. Kill, slaughter, sacrifice, hammered. It's yeah, used in different ways. So I don't know why. That's interesting. I don't know why the person would say it was decapitate. Maybe there's something I don't know about the text, and I just did a quick analysis by looking at the Hebrew on my tools on my Bible program, and that's what I was looking at. All right, let's try this. Before the flood, did people have the technology we do today? Apparently not. Do you think they were more advanced? Depends what you mean by advanced. If you mean by our technology, they have radio frequencies and TVs, I don't think so. Do you think liberal lobotomies were practiced like today? Do you think liberal lobotomies are practiced like today, and that's why God's had enough? I love that. Oh, man. I saw a meme. Some evolutionist guy was, I'm gonna make people mad. But this meme was all these evolutionary hominid ancestors, right? And they're all facing the camera, these drawings, all these hominids. And all Homo erectus, Homo habilis, you know, Homo sapien, and all these different ones. And they said, only one of these has survived this day. And I wrote, that's not true. They're in the Democratic Party. And so I don't know if anybody liked that or not, but I got a kick out of it. I think the Democratic Party is a terrorist organization. It's not to say if you're a Democrat, you're a terrorist. I'm not saying that. I think the party overall is really evil because it promotes killing the unborn. It's their sacrament to their paganism, the death of the unborn to satisfy their own lusts. War-mongering, death-mongering killers who want to kill the babies in the womb. That's what I think. But I got to say this, though. If you're a woman and you've had an abortion, this is what God thinks about it. And he killed a whole group of people because they were sacrificing babies. This was in the Old Testament to Moloch. And he had them all wiped out. And this is what's coming for you on the Day of Judgment. It's going to come to you. You're going to go to hell. However, you listen up. If you want to escape that and you want to be completely, completely forgiven like I have been, then you could just turn to your Lord and Savior Jesus. You can just turn to him and you can just confess that sin and you can turn to Jesus and just call it what it is, sin, that you are selfish, you are rebellious, you betrayed the life in you. You lay all of it before him. And if you weep in the process, so be it. And then you ask him. You ask him to forgive you. And I'm going to tell you something. He will. He's that good. He's that profound. Even those people who were murdering him on the cross. I mean, they beat him. They whipped his back open. Put nails into his wrists and his feet. And he said, Father, forgive them. This is the heart of Christ. At that place, they were murdering the Son of God. And he asked that he be forgiven. When you break your heart open to him, and you ask him to forgive him, just ask him to forgive you. He will. It doesn't depend on your goodness. It doesn't depend on repentance. Now, and I'm going to clarify. You are to repent. Your repentance doesn't get you forgiveness. It's confessing to Christ and trusting in Christ. That's what gives you forgiveness. And you are to repent. You're to no longer do those things. And you're to stop them. That's what repentance means. And so that's what you're called to do. And if you have done those things, my hope for you is to escape that judgment coming, the hellfire and eternal judgment upon all people who've rejected Christ. And there's different degrees of punishment. And for the murderers, especially those who've killed the wives in their own womb. Wow, a deeper place. But you can escape it through Jesus Christ. And he's the Lord and Savior. He's holy and he's righteous, and judgment's coming. Escape it now by trusting in him. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right. You don't hear Hellfire preaching much anymore, do you? Well, still necessary. All right, so there we go. One thing led to another out of that email. Does Satan and his demons know what is written about their faith? Yeah, we've gone over this before. Yeah, they know what's going to happen to them, but they're insanely evil. And so it's not like they're going to give up. Their nature is completely fallen, completely given over to evil. And so they just work to further the evil and hatred they have for God and his people. So yeah, they know. And they know what's coming, and it is coming. All right, I'd like to hear your comments on radio, on radio show guy Glenn Beck. He's a Mormon. He considers himself Christian and just a member of another denomination. No, he's not a Christian. He's a Mormon, because Mormonism is not Christian. And when I say that, it's not with vitriol. No Mormon beat me up, and I hate Mormonism. No, it's simply the study of Mormon doctrine, comparing it to Scripture. And I know Mormon doctrine well, and I know biblical doctrine even better. And so Mormonism teaches God came from another planet, and that there's a goddess wife, you can become gods, God is growing in wisdom and knowledge, and things like that. And that's just not the God of the Bible. And they teach that the Trinity is not a trinity, but a triad. They use the word Trinity, but they misdefine it. What they teach is a triad, an office of three gods. In one office, one position, three gods. It's a triad. A trinity is one being who is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Just one being, and he's eternal. But in the triad of Mormonism, he's not eternal. So it's not a Christian thing, and no, he's not a Christian. The emailer goes on, I've always mistrusted him, but it seems like he's getting more and more deceptive. I don't believe he's being deceptive. That's my opinion. I just think he doesn't realize what the truth is. And I know that people have talked to him, and he doesn't get it. But maybe the Mormon Church is supporting him. I don't know. But I don't see him as a deceptive individual. I believe he's sincerely misinformed, and he's just promoting what he thinks is true. He goes on, the email says, can you talk about him, his Mormon affiliation, of how all of that influences political commentary? I don't know. I haven't studied him enough to be able to say what his political commentary is and how it would influence, but it's worth, you know, it's worth a discussion. We had a caller coming in. I guess we lost a caller. So there's that. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Here's another email. Matt, thanks for your ministry. I have a follow-up further clarity question regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I've heard you dismiss the need to submit to the command for women to cover their heads while praying and prophesying. No, I didn't dismiss it. I say that there's difficulty in understanding exactly what's going on because in that context there are culturally related issues. And so there are commentators who have difficulty discerning which is an actual issue of authority that needs to be done. And that's all I'm saying. And so, personally, I do like the idea of women wearing head coverings in the church. I like that. It's definitely talked about in Scripture, but I don't think it's mandatory, as some might say that it is. And that's the issue there. Are you outright dismissing any and all application of Paul's command in today's context? No, I'm not. I just now said not. Or are you saying women can and should apply a parallel symbol of rank subjection according to the custom? No. So somebody's upset. All right, let's get over here. Can Calvinists offer any hope for the lost besides hope God's pick you? Yeah. See, one of the things we don't know is Reformed individuals. We don't know how it all works. It's not like a predetermined thing that God has just decreed and you can't get out of it. It's just, that's it. We don't know how God has arranged what he arranges. And we don't know the complexity of thought and interaction that we have and that the ordination of what he has had about us with him. We just don't know. I mean, James 5, I think it's 5:16, says the prayers of a righteous man avail much with God. Well, how's that possible? Well, I don't know. But that's what it says, and I believe it. So What I do when I'm praying for someone's salvation, I say, Lord, if they're not elect, please elect them, which is my way of saying, I don't know how it all works. I know God elects. I know God grants faith. I know he does. And Lord, would you please grant that to that person over there? That's what I ask. So I'm in sales, not production. I'm in sales, not production. That's from Bill McKeever. I got a quote from him. I stole it. It's a good quote. If you're listening, Bill, hey, waiting. All right, so there's that. Let's go to another email. Here's a good question. Is the God of Calvinism the same as the God of Islam? No, he's not. The God of Calvinism is Trinitarian, just like Christians teach. And the God of Islam is not. So they're not the same. And he says, pertaining to predestination, degree, and sovereignty. No, Islam has more of a... It's hard to explain, where Allah is recreating every second in the universe, every moment, so that what he is creating is what is occurring. Now, this is what I've heard from Muslim theologians. So, now I'd like to have that verified. If that's the case, then that's a problem. We know that God, that Allah predestines, decrees, and is sovereign in there, because it's based largely on Christian theology. And so what they've done is they perverted it, and then there's a phrase, inshallah, which means if Allah wills. So in Islam, you can't know for a fact, you can actually get into that, but you can't normally know for a fact that you're justified and you're going to make it to heaven. The way you can know it in Islam, if your sins are all forgiven, you're going to make it to paradise, is if you die in jihad, if you die defending the name of Allah or Muhammad, things like that. And for a woman, I was told, the way a woman is can guarantee her place in heaven is if, I think it was four, maybe three, but I think it was four, if four of her sons die in jihad, then she's guaranteed heaven. It's just ludicrous. Look what they did, so you get to go to heaven because of what they did. It's just, you know, it's just a guy in the desert trying to get a bunch of guys to follow him, and he makes this stuff up as he goes. That's one of the examples of it. So she says, she or he, okay. I heard this from an anti-Calvinist commentator before. Have you heard it? Yeah. Generally, anti-Calvinist commentators, they don't know the theology of what Reformed theology teaches. And, you know, yes, I'm a Calvinist. And the guy who was just on, he's on my board of directors, Charlie, who's talked about the debate, he's not a Calvinist. Like, okay, I don't care. No big deal. So it's not like you live and breathe by that. It's just that because I'm a public figure, it's known and people attack me on it, and I've had to learn how to defend it over the years. But if you're not a Reformed guy, Calvinist, I don't care. That's fine. As long as you love Jesus, that's what's important. As long as you're not causing division in the body of Christ. And if you're going to talk about Reformed theology, then at least study it and represent it accurately. And most of the time they don't. And I'm not saying that this in a derogatory way. It's just most of the time they don't. And over the weekend, I was in a discussion on this very topic, seriously, on election predestination decrees from a Reformed perspective, and somebody said, it's determinism. And I said, do you know what ordination means? And from a Reformed perspective, and he didn't know. I said, this is important. You have to understand what ordination is. So I had to teach him. And, so it's just how it's common. And I find that a lot of people, they don't really study that much. They just study enough to justify what they think, and then they're done. That's not the thing. Don't do that. Study and see what you think, if it's being justified by what you're studying, and keep studying more. Look at another position. Look at the other side to see. That's what you're supposed to be doing, but I find that most people don't do that. All right, let's see. Let's see. Where was that one? Okay. How about this one? Are the demons chained underwater? Are there demons chained underwater? I have never had that question asked of me that I can remember. I don't know. Maybe someone's got... maybe there's something that says under the sea in Revelation. They're bound and stuff. I wonder. I'm going to get into Revelation here. Do a quick check. I've got like 4 minutes left. Under the sea. Nope. under, let's see, nope. I'm going to try this. Chained. Nope. No, I can't find it. Let's see. Word under. I think there was something like that, but chained different places. And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book. And, ooh. Here's something. And every created thing which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying to him. So that's not the same things chained under. I'm looking for the word under and sea. And nope. So I don't think so. All right. How about that? That's just some live instantaneous research. She saw a video, a short video, however, got the tail end of it. Not sure what the person was saying. Okay. Well, there you go. I'll read the context and see. And how about, let's see. Do you believe his stigmata were real and from God? I don't know who you're talking about. Isn't it curious this phenomena didn't arrive until St. Francis? And yeah. Yeah, I don't. I think that there can be legitimate stigmata in that they can actually get wounds in their hands. There could be psychosomatic stuff that's done, and it could also be demonic. I don't know if it's from God. And the reason I say that is because apparently this stuff happens with Catholics. And Roman Catholicism is apostate. It's bad news. And so that's why I don't think it's from God. I think it's probably demonic influence through the Roman Catholic Church. So how about that? Quick and slick. Let's get to this one. That's a too long one. I can't get to that. Let's see. Here we go. More people are sending me links. Hey, Matt, I have a question. Is it okay for a woman to officiate a wedding ceremony? Yes. You can have a judge, and it'd be legal. A woman does that. That's fine. You can have a woman captain of a ship marry somebody. That's fine, too. Don't see any reason why just because she's a woman she can't officiate at a wedding ceremony. However, if she's officiating as a pastor or an elder of a church, then I wouldn't recognize her authority in that position. Because women are not to be pastors and elders. All right. So that's a good question, though. It is. And why do the books of the Catholic Bible differ from that of the Protestants? Because they don't hear the voice of God in truth, and they are listening to a false shepherd, and they're putting in the apocryphal books, and I think they added them in 1546, and in response to the Protestant Reformation so that they could bolster and try and support more of their false doctrines. That's why. Okay, there you go. All right, we're out of time. I will not be live on the air Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week because I'm going to do a travel thing, and I'll be back on live Friday. Got a debate Friday, and look on the calendar, carm.org/calendar, for that information. And there you go. May the Lord bless you. Have a great day. So praise God, and we'll talk to you, Lord willing, on Friday. God bless everybody. See you. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.